day at farmjournaltv.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-230-2777 or biglou.com.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump sent to announce initial plans for what's called the Golden Dome missile defense system, designed to defend against ICBMs and hypersonic capabilities. President Trump earlier met with Republican lawmakers on Capitol Hill as GOP leaders prepare to take up votes on the reconciliation bill aimed at lowering taxes for the wealthy and cutting key programs like Medicaid. ABC's Jay O'Brien. More.
Speaker Mike Johnson doesn't appear to have the votes. Holdouts in his party, some calling for changes to Medicaid, others saying that they want a higher cap on the state and local tax credit. And then there are rank and file members who say they are concerned that this bill could change too much from the one that House Republican leadership promised them.
Testimony continuing in the sex trafficking and racketeering trial of Sean Diddy Combs. The music mogul's ex-girlfriend Cassie Ventura testified last week that Combs abused her and coerced her into participating in sex parties. Today, Ventura's mother testified. This is ABC News. In New Orleans, a maintenance worker at the Orleans Parish Justice Center has been arrested, allegedly shutting off the water to the toilet to help 10 inmates escape last week. The fourth escapee now captured.
The 10 men, some facing murder charges, managed to get through a hole behind a toilet.
That toilet didn't just come off the wall during somebody's lunch break. And where's the water?
Answer, says Orleans Parish District Attorney Jason Williams, maintenance worker Sterling Williams.
It appears Mr. Williams assisted these inmates make good their escape by shutting off the water to that toilet.
Now the 33-year-old Williams is in custody while the search continues for the other six escapees. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Relief for commuters using the nation's third largest transit train system. Trains are rolling again after New Jersey Transit reached a tentative deal to end a strike with union workers. Train engineers were demanding higher pay. It was the first New Jersey Transit strike in over 40 years. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Confidence is knowing you're ready to handle whatever comes your way. That's what it feels like to take on your workday with CentOS. They make sure your AEDs are up to date, your fire extinguishers are tested and inspected, your floor mats are cleaned and delivered, and your workwear looks good, feels good, and is freshly laundered with a CentOS Apparel Plus program. So are you ready to take on today? Visit CentOS.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Get Memorial Day appliance savings at the Home Depot with up to 35% off, plus up to an extra $450 off select appliances like Whirlpool that can keep up with your busy routine. Whether storing weeknight dinners or packing coolers for the next sports practice, the Home Depot has the Whirlpool refrigerator with storage and ice capacity for everything you need to keep up. Celebrate Memorial Day with savings on select appliances at the Home Depot. Offer valid May 15th through June 4th, U.S. only, C store or online for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Tad Aylin. Authorities are investigating the deaths of two students at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville Monday after law enforcement responded to an incident late Monday afternoon at the Wilgus Hall Residence Hall on campus. Students were asked to shelter in place. The school's chancellor, Dr. Tammy Avedovich, later sent out an email saying that two 22-year-old students, Kelsey Martin of Beloit and Hallie Helms of Baraboo, had died in what campus police say was a targeted incident. Little other information was provided. Students are asked to avoid Wilgus Hall until further notice. Those living at the dormitory have been moved to other residence halls on campus. The incident has led to the cancellation of final exams at UW-Platteville for this week. More tornadoes from last Thursday's severe storms around the state have been confirmed. National Weather Service crews surveying reported sites of the twisters have confirmed five in Dodge County, including two EF2s in Mayville and Juneau and three EF1s in Lomira. Elsewhere around Wisconsin, an EF0 tornado was certified in the Sauk County village of Rock Springs, and an EFU was confirmed in Portage. The EFU, or EF unknown rating, is assigned to tornadoes that are observed or tracked, but no visible damage is found. Total number of confirmed tornadoes from last week's storms is 12. A proposal at the state capitol looks to expand early voting hours across Wisconsin. The Republican-sponsored bill would address inequities between voting in urban and rural areas, providing a 20-hour minimum for in-person absentee voting without needing to make an appointment. The measure would also establish a funding mechanism to help municipalities meet minimum hour requirements. Proponents say adding more opportunity for early voting will help minimize congestion and possible errors on election day. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Wet and windy today, with gusts approaching 40 miles per hour and high temperatures 20 degrees below average, only scraping 50. Slap some wind chills on top of that, plus the rainfall soaking at times, a good 1 to 2 inches is possible. Need a getaway or change of scenery? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Right now, it's 41 degrees.
AOA, produced by Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, hello and welcome in to a new episode of AOA, Agriculture of America, powered by SEDEX. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Premium diesel, the right choice for your operation year-round. Learn more about SEDEX premium diesel fuels by visiting SEDEX.com today. We've got a real busy show coming up later on in the program. We're going to get a full recap of the Kansas Wheat Tour that happened last week. Dave Green with the Wheat Quality Council is going to join us for a conversation. Before that, in segment three, we got a number of topics and issues to catch up with Todd Neely, DTN Environmental Editor. He'll join us to run through a multitude of items on our discussion list here today. Before all of that, in segment two, friend of the show, Tom Brand, has a new book out called Welts on Your Butt, A Calf Could Suck. We're going to learn about this book and have a conversation with Tom and some of the experiences he shares in that book, his years as a farm broadcaster and more. He'll be joining us here in just a little bit. Helping us get things started, though, on AOA, let's talk about fertilizer price action. I've been noticing prices have been ticking higher and higher here recently. Where do things stand as we near the Memorial Day weekend? Josh Linville, Vice President of Fertilizer at StoneX, joins us here on the show. Josh, it's good to hear from you again. Sounds like you got a high school graduate in your household there.
Yeah, it's not right because last I checked, I just graduated high school myself. But yep, oldest walked across the stage there Sunday afternoon, and graduation party comes this Friday, and we'll see. We spend a lot of money for the party. He gets a lot of money for the party. It's a heck of a deal if you can get into it.
Well, hey, congratulations to you and your family and your son. That's awesome news. Sounds like you got a busy holiday weekend in front of you. Before that, I'm sure continuing to talk about fertilizer prices. What's going on with price action? I've been seeing things have been ticking higher here the last several weeks. Where do things stand right now in general?
Yeah, you could probably look across the every fertilizer out there and say, yeah, prices are definitely up. And it's been a little bit of twofold, right? We've got a massive corn crop that we're expecting. A lot of people are starting to talk that 96 plus million acres is what they think it's going to shake out at. But probably more important is the fact that this has been almost a perfect spring season for planting, for application. I mean, when you look, until last night's storm system moved across the Midwest, we hadn't seen widespread rains. It was wide open, and the market always expects a normal spring. It expects it to be drawn out. That's when you kind of light up these barges and rail cars and trucks to show up. When it goes like it did, suddenly prices start to spike because the market just isn't prepared for it. So, yeah, bullishness has been the case. But when you pull the season forward like that, you pull the end of the season forward as well. We might be experiencing the first steps of that action already this week.
What are some key segments that you're paying attention to right now when it comes to fertilizer price action, Josh?
Well, right now for the nitrogen side, it's all about timing. It's really coming down to when is the demand going to hit again? Like I said, this widespread rain that moved across the Midwest is going to give the market a chance to pause, a chance to breathe, a chance to restock. Things can finally slow down. And typically speaking, if you look, that tends to have a more bearish effect on things. So that's kind of where we're watching that side. Phosphate, potash markets, a lot of that spring application is already completed. That's a pre-plant product. So we're kind of turning our sights to the summertime and trying to figure out, well, what are those going to be? Fortunately for potash, we're hoping prices will dip back a little bit. Unfortunately for phosphate, it's going to continue to be a very, very high price. In fact, as we look at the price of phosphate versus the price of corn, second worst ratio we've ever seen in history. Only time that was worse was 2008, and the only thing that made 2008 was better than today, corn prices were $6, $7, $8 a bushel.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. What about the urea side? Let's talk about that a little bit. I've been seeing plenty of news notes there here as of late.
The biggest one we're dealing with today is China. Now, if you know anything about China is in terms of fertilizer, they are a major exporter of urea. They represent about 10% of the global export market, normally about 5 to 5.5 million tons. Last year, Jesse, 262,000 is all they allowed to leave their borders. That left the market short. That helped to prop up a lot of these prices out there that farmers struggled with. Well, now all of a sudden, the government is continuing to kind of control that export flow, but they have improved it. They are now saying they're going to allow about 2 million tons to be departing over the next several months. So to a certain extent, this is good news. It's an improvement from last year, but we still have issues with Europe. We still have some hiccups in places like Egypt that's been going on. We still expect big demand next year. So we're hoping to see prices reset as we move into the summer. I'm just not sure if we can quite stretch out and get to where we reset last summer.
Well, let's talk summer outlook and maybe into the fall run, too, as we're trying to forecast a little bit. And I know it's a lot's been made of that cost price squeeze on the farm here throughout really the last year plus. And a lot of farmers taking a hard look at all of their inputs, fertilizer especially. I mean, how is all of this playing into the summer outlook and beyond right now, Josh?
It lends a lot of uncertainty. If we could sit there and say, hey, demand will hit this thing normally, we'd be a lot more certain in our view of the marketplace. But I can't do that for a second. I mean, when I sit there and I look at the grain prices and I look at the input prices, not just fertilizer, grain, the seed and the chemical and equipment and diesel, it's all extremely high price. And I know the farmer's suffering. And that is going to provide even more anger, even more angst when they go to talk about those fall numbers, because they're going to look at the price and say, you got to be kidding me. Have you seen what you're buying my grain for? This makes no sense. I truly believe this is going to be one of the biggest standoffs between buyers and sellers that we've seen in a very long time, if not ever.
So from a management standpoint here, I mean, everyone's operation is different, but is there any general thought that producers can kind of take home here to just try to position themselves as best as they can, or any just general advice you could share in terms of looking at things as we get into summer, fall, et cetera, right now?
I'll tell you what, you could have me on for the next 100 days straight, and I'm going to say the exact same thing every single one of those times. It is going to be so easy for us to look at this current situation and say, 2025, I'm not going to make money. 2026, doesn't look like I'm going to make money. And what do? We get angry, we get upset, we get nervous, we get scared, and we want to stick our head in the sand. We don't want to do anything. We don't want to talk to anybody. We want to sit there and stick our head in the sand and hope that when we pull it out, everything is better on the flip side. Do not do that. Don't. You have to keep your – there are always opportunities, but you have to watch for them. And the more that we're sitting there and refusing to look at the marketplace, the easier it is to miss. The more that we're talking with our supplier, our retailer, saying, hey, what are we looking at today? What are we looking at this week? What can we do to buy the fertilizer, sell the grain? Things like this. There will be opportunities, but we've got to make sure we set that emotion aside. There's nothing wrong with being all those things, but we also have to look at it kind of like a cold-hearted CEO. That's what you are when it comes to your farm.
And I'll just say it's kind of like the grain and livestock markets at risk of trading futures and options. We know it could be substantial. Well, there's plenty of risk when you're watching what's happening with fertilizer price action as well. You just got to get it down to boil down to your operation and have conversations with your trusted advisors about things as well. Josh Linville, Vice President of Fertilizer at StoneX. Always good to hear from you, my friend. Thank you for joining us. Have a great holiday weekend, and hope you guys have a great celebration for your son. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, sir.
Josh Linville with us from StoneX here on AOA. Brought to you by Cenex. No matter what conditions you face, Cenex has the heavy-duty diesel engine oils to meet your needs. Visit Cenex.com today. Up next, we'll learn about a brand-new book from friend of the show, Tom Brand, Welts on Your Butt, A Calf That Sucked. We'll learn about that next here on AOA. On the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discussed what crop inputs we import and why farmers need market access through trade with J.R. Raisner, Corn Board member from Indiana.
Potash is a big item in growing crops. Right now, we import about 90% of the potash that we use. Canada's our number one supplier. We also source from Russia, China, and Belarus. Making sure that we have that product available at a price that we can, you know, afford to put that on the crop. We talked quite a bit about the input side and, you know, the ability for the U.S. to produce and supply the inputs that we need. But as we look at the product we grow, nobody grows corn better than the U.S. farmer. And there's a lot of demand out there in having these trade deals in place, having access to these countries. Right now, we need those export markets to use the crops that we have.
Stay up to date and learn more at ncga.com.
Pulling acres ahead of the competition is simple. Cenex Maxtron synthetic diesel engine oils give you the smartest oil for the toughest conditions. These premium oils are formulated with EnduroVis technology and a balanced additive package to control deposits for a cleaner, more efficient engine that gives you proven durability. Cenex Maxtron diesel engine oils. Oil that runs smart.
Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening, and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And using quality premium products like Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Premium Diesel and Cenex Maxtron Diesel Engine Oils, they help keep your equipment running stronger and longer. Visit Cenex.com today or your nearest store location for more information. Welcome back to AOA as we continue here today. When I saw this news come across my desk, my email, I should say, technically my desk too earlier this week, I knew I had to reach out and get our next guest on the program for conversation. Friend of the show, Tom Brand, has a new book, his debut book, Welts on your butt, a calf could suck. Reflections on faith, family, and a farm kid's life. And Tom is here to tell us more about this right now on AOA. Tom, it is great to hear from you again. How are things there in Northwest Missouri?
Really well. We got a beautiful rain yesterday afternoon and yesterday evening. And we hadn't seen a nice rain really for about 5 weeks, and things were definitely dry, and there's a lot of dust stirred up. So nice rain and a beautiful looking day ahead of us, and some nice weather ahead too.
Well, that is good to hear. Good to hear. All right. So give us the background on why write a book. And I mean, you have a lot of experience as a veteran farm broadcaster and just, you know, raised as a Missouri farm kid and more, and writing for different publications, et cetera, et cetera. So why a book? Why now, Tom?
So 20 years ago, I talked about the possibility of writing a book, and it was just going to be fun. And I had a good friend that said, a word of caution, a warning, writing a book is like building a house by yourself. And it kind of intimidated me, because I had some friends that had written some books, and they said, yeah, no easy process. This was not the book that I had ever planned to write. The book that I'd planned and am still actually working on is one about some experiences related to a heart attack. But this is the heart of the book that I'd originally talked about 20 some years ago. And the title comes from an expression that my dad said. And the story that I tell is I was young, really young, single digits. And we were working in the hog lot, and we'd brought in a bunch of hog panels to build a temporary fence. And my job is this 5-6-year-old kid was to make sure the hogs didn't get on those panels. And dad said, now make sure those hogs stay away from those. He didn't want the mess or them getting tangled up in them. He said, now pay attention or I'll put welts on your butt. A calf could suck. And my thought was, I don't know what a welt is, but I know that if I've got one that's big enough, a calf could suck, and it's on my hind end, I don't want anything to do with it. And that was one of those expressions that stuck with me. And I always told Dad, if I write a book, that's what the title's going to be. And he'd just smile and chuckle. And that's how this all started off. A collection of stories, mostly columns that I'd written for the newspaper in my home county, that's just grown into just some additional stories. And I started putting them to paper and doing the layout on the book. And a few months later, next thing I knew, I had about 60 stories here together to share with folks who may just be looking for a trip down memory lane or a good laugh or, just to help them reminisce about something from their past too.
Well, and that's really, to your point, at the heart of your book here. As I was looking through some excerpts and just thinking about this, you know, it made me think about, you know, my time growing up in a tiny north central Iowa farm town. I mean, you know, a lot of your stories and memories and more, I would say many folks can relate in some way, some fashion to a lot of the stories that you talk about in the book.
You know, that was, I think, my overall intention was not to write a memoir per se, but really just to help kick the tires on a vehicle for folks to have their own trip down a dusty road and remember some things that had happened to them in the past that might have been similar or that they could relate to. For me, I've told people that this has opened up rooms in my mind that hadn't been accessed for quite a while, and I had to shake the dust off of a few things and clear the path. It has been one of the most rewarding experiences I've had in recent memory, because there was no pressure to write. I didn't have any deadline. I was just writing for pure enjoyment of it, and I think that's one of the things that I've enjoyed about the process the most.
Well, and I know the book is available on Amazon as well as richardsonpress.com. We'll share some more details on that here in a moment. Tom, as you look through all the different collection of stories that you have in the book, what's maybe the one or two that stand out to you that you would maybe share with folks here on the show today?
You know, I separated things up into five different topics or five different sections. And I called the first section fence, post, and field work, just remembering some things back on the farm And then I rolled into the faith, family, and front yards. I did a pretty good long section about school days and then voices that echo. And it's really just some things that have been said to me through the years that have stuck with me. And then my last section is one that was, I think, the biggest surprise. And I titled that section, What It Cost and What It Gave. And it's probably more the patriotic appreciation of some things that have happened in this country. And that was an area that I expanded into some writing that will probably never make a newspaper column because it's just simply too long for what the editor normally has in mind. Asking what my favorite is kind of asking what my favorite kid is. every one of these just brings a smile to my face and sometimes makes me tear up. The one I think that I've emotionally connected with here lately coming off of Easter was recollections of doing a sunrise service in the cemetery outside my hometown. And just the flood of memories that came back of seeing sunrise come up over a cemetery, that's one that resonated with me. My dad passed 5 years ago this month, and so I think several of the stories about dad have really meant a lot to me, and those are the ones that I've got feedback from readers on as to how it helped them remember something with their own dad. And then I've been able to write about some family and some friends, college experiences, some practical jokes. I was a mascot for the University of Missouri, so there's a section in there about being the Tiger at Mizzou, and all of them I think are fun, and I hope that they're ones that the readers will really enjoy.
Well, you spent almost 20 years as a farm broadcaster as well at various stations and networks, and I know you spent quite a bit of time at one of our great AOA affiliates, KFEQ, there in St. Joseph, Missouri. Did any of your time as a farm broadcaster, did any stories from that time period make it into this book by chance?
The one that immediately comes to mind is, you know how it goes when you have to ad-lib time, Jesse. I had a time one morning that I misread the clock back when we were looking at a sweeping hand. And so I needed to make up time to fill up the hour. And the sunrise happened to be at 7:30 that morning. And I said, it'd be a great morning to calibrate your rooster. And that turned into several different bits on the radio in years later. And so I actually go through the step-by-step process on how you can calibrate your own rooster too.
I was going to say, I'm glad you brought that up because I believe you shared that story with me before. And that is, that's one of those, stories that kind of takes on a life of its own, doesn't it, Tom?
Well, if you've got a properly calibrated rooster, you can keep your neighbors a lot more happy. And the technique is pretty simple as far as plucking tail feathers out of his of his tail to either slow him down or speed him up to grow at the right time. So I think a good calibrated rooster is a bit of a scarce commodity, but it can be done.
That's very true. Well, I know folks can search for the book on Amazon, Welts on Your Butt, A Calf Could Suck, Reflections on Faith, Family, and a Farm Kid's Life. It's also available at richardsonpress.com, and we will share the links on our website as well for folks to find those easily. Tom, final 40 seconds. Anything else you'd add or reiterate about the new book?
You know, for me, I would say that this was just a fun adventure that I don't know that I ever set out to do, but one that I'm glad I've done. Very therapeutic. I've found that writing for the enjoyment is something that's good, and it's one thing that I've encouraged people to do. Maybe they haven't picked up a pen or a pencil or sat down to type anything for a while. Take the time and maybe jot a few things down. Your family and friends will appreciate it, even if it never does go to print, but it's just something you can share with them.
Well, we will let you go with that. I'm going to go calibrate my rooster now while I got a couple of minutes here.
Perfect.
Tom Brand, friend of the show, his new book, Welts on Your Butt, A Calf Could Suck, is available everywhere now. Tom, thanks for being with us on AOA today. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Good to be here.
AOA powered by Cenex Premium Diesel and Lubricants. Up next, we'll talk with DTF Environmental Editor Todd Neely right here on AOA.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Give us a call now, and we'll create a plan of action for you that we guarantee will work. Stop the harassing phone calls. Stop the threatening letters. Stop wage garnishments. Stop any bank levies. And most importantly, put an end to your tax nightmare once and for all. If you have a tax debt of $10,000 or more, call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-337-8179. That's 800-337-8179. 800-337-8179. Call now.
At 24/7 in West Wisconsin Telecom, we're proud to invest in the future of our communities. This year, we awarded $20,000 worth of scholarships to students across 8 school districts in our service area. These amazing students are going places, and 24/7 in West Wisconsin Telecom is honored to support their journey. From all of us at 24/7 in West Wisconsin Telecom, congratulations, class of 2025. Your future is bright, and we're proud to be a part of it.
Milk markets were mixed. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, June milk down 3 to 18.99, July up 6 to 19.06, August up 6 at 19.06, September down 6 at 19.08. Live cattle markets were mostly higher. Feeder cattle markets also mostly higher on the day, as the live cattle contract did move slightly higher due to help from higher box beef prices. Feeder cattle markets, they traded higher as it was cautiously following the live cattle market's value. Prices are trading mostly steady on the cash side in sales barns across the country. Meanwhile, hog markets were mostly mixed. Traders still kind of concerned about, is there really enough fundamental support to move prices past resistance levels? June live cattle up 20 cents to 213.17. May feeder cattle up 32 cents to 296. June hogs up 77 cents to 100.02. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly higher. Wheat markets moved sharply higher on short covering as commodity funds built a record large short position over the last 2 months, and the charts are now trying to turn upward. Corn also moved higher on some short covering as well, and concerns about the cool and wet weather that could move some corn acres to bean acres, believe it or not. New crop corn down or up 6 3/4 to 448.5. New crop beans up 4 to 1041. July wheat up 17.
Shawls Gas, downtown Durand, is your authorized Whirlpool dealer. Reputation, quality, pricing, and personal service are what Shawls customers have come to know and trust. Shawls offers a full line of Whirlpool appliances, including dishwashers, microwaves, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers, with installation and service. Clean, cost-effective propane offered by Shawls is the answer for your home energy needs. Visit Shawls Gas for all of your propane and Whirlpool appliance needs. Shawls Gas, downtown Durand.
Are you having a party or event and need a place to rent? Well, why not try the Riverview Community and Senior Center in Durand? That's right. The Riverview Community Center is available to rent for individuals or groups. The center has a kitchen, tables, and chairs that you can use for your event. There's parking for your guests, and the cost is very affordable. A minimum of 2 hours is required. Call 672-4101 for availability. The Riverview Community and Senior Center, 606 West Madison Street, Durand.
And welcome back as we continue, brought to you by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect your equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Visit Cenex.com today or your nearest store location. Well, joining us now, DTN Environmental Editor Todd Neely. Todd, welcome back to the show. Sounds like you guys have gotten some much-needed rain there in your neck of the woods in the eastern Nebraska here as of late.
Yeah, it's been really good. We
We heard a report today that here in Lincoln, Nebraska, we got about 6 inches of rain. So I'm not sure that that's completely accurate, but that was the last thing I heard.
Well, hey, even if a couple of inches, when I know how dry it has been, I know you guys will definitely take it there across the state. That is for sure. That is for sure. Well, hey, glad to get you back on the show. We got a number of topics to run through. Let's start with the latest on Roundup. There's been a lot of legal issues surrounding Roundup with Bayer. There's been talk that they may end up having to pull Roundup potentially from the shelves, things of that nature. So walk us through what is the latest surrounding all the legal challenges with Roundup.
Well, yeah, Jesse, it's complex, and it's been complex for a number of years. We've had these product liability lawsuits brought against Bayer. Last number, according to a court document, was that there's over 100,000 cases filed against Bayer on Roundup. Primarily where we are now, Bayer has asked the assistance of the Supreme Court to rule on a lower court split. So there's, you know, one of the things that's come up along the way is that, you know, Bayer might consider going to the Supreme Court to have them address a split. And so it really would allow, you know, it would allow for Bayer to at least have some relief in the fact that, you know, their product, they argue, is because it's, you know, approved by EPA, that the label is approved by EPA, you know, all the science is in place. And, you know, their contention is that EPA's regulation of Roundup is enough, and it doesn't, and the federal law will, you know, supersede state laws when it comes to, you know, failure to warn and those sorts of things on product labels. So they filed with the Supreme Court. We've had ag groups send amicus briefs, which basically providing more information to the Supreme Court on the case. And at the same time, we've been seeing at the state level a number of states, you know, dealing, considering legislation to make it, you know, the law of the state that, you know, EPA labels would supersede any other attempts by states or otherwise to regulate the product. And so there's been so much of this going on, so much back and forth. And now this week, we expect the Make America Healthy Again Commission to put out a report that could have some implications for not just glyphosate, but a number of things related to agriculture.
And I'm glad you brought that up, as we just saw Tuesday morning a joint release from a number of major ag groups ahead of that MAHA Commission report. The National Corn Growers, American Soybean Association, National Association of Wheat Growers, and more. I know that for many folks in ag, Todd, there is plenty of concern about what this report could mean for production agriculture potentially.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think one of the things that has emerged that makes you believe that this isn't necessarily a slam dunk to where it's going to lead to, you know, pulling products from the shelves or anything of that sort, is the fact that even within the Trump administration, there seems to have been quite a bit of disagreement about what MAHA might do as it relates to ag chemicals. We don't really know. I just know that there's been a lot of smoke. EPA isn't saying a whole lot about it. So it's kind of just a wait and see. You know, there's thoughts that it's going to go beyond ag chemicals to other things, you know, potentially oil seeds. You know, so many things that RFK Jr. Wants to address as the Health and Human Services Secretary as it relates to, you know, to food safety and health and children's health and that sort of thing. So we expect it's probably going to be a pretty broad report. But everything we're hearing, glyphosate, you know, in Roundup is going to be a significant focus of that report.
Todd, let's talk about the carbon pipeline issue in the Midwest. And we've seen a lot of things on this in the past several months, roadblocks in South Dakota, for instance. The Iowa Senate earlier last week passing a bill that complicates the possible use of eminent domain for carbon pipelines. It sounds like And then, too, even on the federal level, there's some concern about the 45Q tax credit and what that could mean for carbon capture and storage and more. So there's a lot going on surrounding carbon pipelines. Can you tell us, at least from your perspective, what you've been covering and what you've heard here lately?
Yeah, so Jesse, the one thing that we've kind of been keeping an eye on is whether Republican Governor in Iowa, Kim Reynolds, whether she's going to actually sign that bill that was passed. And it effectively, when you look at the language of the bill in Iowa, it certainly would make it extremely hard for carbon pipelines to really get off the ground. One of the main things in that bill was a 25-year limitation on how long a carbon pipeline could operate. You know, long term, you know, you think of 25 years and it sounds like a long time, but, you know, if we're going to be, you know, companies are going to be investing billions of dollars in these projects as it relates to carbon sequestration, I think that 25 years or any limit whatsoever is just not going to help. So far, here we are on Tuesday, we've not seen the governor of Iowa sign that bill. And so, you know, she's not running for reelection. And so maybe the thought is that she might, you know, veto that bill on the way out the door. But we just don't know. We haven't seen anything coming from her yet. She's been signing bills in state that were just, you know, approved by the legislature. But that particular legislation has not been part of it so far.
Well, and Todd, I think about this whole debate over carbon pipelines, and this has been a multi-year debate here, and it seems like this Summit Carbon Project, which is really at the heart of a lot of this, keeps running into various roadblocks here, whether it be Iowa, South Dakota, etc. And it just, you know, one has to wonder what the ultimate fate might be of this pipeline. I know I'm kind of just hypothesizing and thinking here a little bit, but there just seems to be this continued, you know, whether you're on the for it or against it side, it just seems like it continues to snowball and roll down the road here as we move forward.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it is interesting. When you look at the project, you know, it involves like 57 ethanol plants that they would connect to. And so it has a significant potential effect on the rural American economy in a good way. I do think it seems that Summit seems to be pretty cautious about it. They're pretty conservative about it in many ways. They don't seem to be overreacting to much of anything that's been going on. It would seem that they're trying to work around the system, you know, whatever the law is in a given state, they want to try to follow that law and do what they can to complete the project. But definitely when you keep seeing these things happen, I think it does raise doubts about whether something like this can get across the finish line or whether, you know, maybe somebody at some point decides that they're going to, you know, scale down the size of the project. I mean, there's a lot of things that could still happen as a result.
DTN's Todd Neely with us here today on AOA. A couple minutes, Todd. What's some of the latest on the right to repair issues, legal issues with John Deere? I know you've been covering that here closely.
Yeah, you know, so as is the case with most of these types of lawsuits, antitrust lawsuits, you know, they take many, many years in the court system. So, but we've been kind of following the court docket just to see where things are going. And here recently, the plaintiffs in the case wanted John Deere to allow its chief financial officer to testify and provide at least a deposition, you know, to the plaintiffs. His name is Joshua Jepson. And so John Deere filed a court request to not allow that testimony to go forward. And the main reason for that is they say that you know, there's a lot of end of year report or end of quarter reports and different financial things that John Deere's involved with, you know, as we get, you know, as the year goes on. And so to take him away from his duties would be what the company says is kind of an undue hardship to the company. And so they're trying to make that case in court. And as we've seen, the plaintiffs have been getting a lot of different people to testify in depositions. And so, this type of thing is really not that unusual. I mean, they refer to it as the Apex Doctrine, which basically shields like high level executives from being examined under oath. You know, there has to be a lot of different situations that that are in place to grant that sort of a you know, relief. But as of, you know, the overall case, it's still churning along. I don't even know that we're going to see a court date even until next year, possibly.
Todd, we're up against the clock, final 30 seconds. We covered quite a few topics, and we didn't even get into the issue of renewable volume obligations and more, which I know we're all waiting to hear from the EPA on that. It seems like that timeline keeps shifting and ebbing and flowing, doesn't it?
It sure does. We do know that EPA did send a proposal to the OMB, which is the Office of Management and Budget. So those reviews at OMB can take, you know, up to 60 days, something like that. We're already very long past on getting the latest RVOs out. You know, and so the Biden administration had pushed it all the way back to March of next year. So it's really, we don't know where it's going, but we should, I would think in the next couple of months see something.
Well, we'll track it with you. Todd Neely from DTN, good to hear from you. Have a great holiday weekend coming up. All right, Todd?
You too. Thank you, Jesse.
Back with more on AOA, powered by Cenex, right after this.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MOVE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus. $5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MOVE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Fatherhood have taught me you need the right equipment for what life throws your way, including an opioid emergency. I've lost teammates and loved ones to opioid poisoning. It's the leading cause of accidental death in the U.S. But now I have the power to save a life, and so do you. Lay, spray, stay. Three words to help save someone in need. Lay the person on their back. Use Narcan nasal spray as directed to reverse the effects of an opioid emergency. Dial 911 and stay with them until emergency help arrives. Continue to administer additional doses as needed. And opioid poisoning can happen to anyone, anywhere, anytime. So learn the signs and symptoms of an opioid emergency and always be ready to rescue. Learn more at readytorescue.com.
When you run a fleet business, delay is a dirty word. What fuels me to stay on schedule? My clients, their clients, and everyone's bottom line. What fuels my fleet? Cenex Roadmaster XL, a premium diesel fuel formulated with its best additive package yet to clean the entire fuel system for more power, less maintenance, and better fuel economy. Cenex Roadmaster XL, fueled by innovation, powered to perform.
Get on board.
Harbor is open. It's time to go boating and fishing and leave stress in our wake. Feel the wind as we ride and a fish on the line. Reel in our first catch and feel the sun at our backs. It's get out on the water season. It's time to get on board. Find out where to get on board near you. Visit Take Me Fishing and Discover Boating to learn more. And please recreate responsibly.
Get on board. Get on board.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number TC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back. Today's AOA brought to you by Cenex. No matter what conditions you face, Cenex has the heavy-duty diesel engine oils to meet your needs. Visit Cenex.com today. Let's get a recap of last week's wheat tour across Kansas, the 2025 Wheat Quality Council Hard Winter Wheat Tour. Joining us now, Dave Green with the Wheat Quality Council. Dave, it is good to hear from you again. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
It's my pleasure. Glad to be here.
So give us the overarching theme from the wheat tour last week. It looked like decent yields were found, maybe some disease pressure. What's your overall takeaway from last week's tour?
Yeah, it's easy to summarize. I think they have a little more disease. I know they have more disease than normal, and certainly more than last year. This wheat streak is a pretty nasty disease that, you know, I've been scouting crops now for 44 years, and it's there every year, and it's not something that's easy to control, and there is some damage to some fields were sprayed out, and other fields you could see around the edges they're going to get some yield loss. But you know, I don't think this is a big, you know, this isn't like you know, a frost for during heading, for example. But I think they're going to lose some wheat. But I don't think that's a big story of the trip. It was dry in a lot of areas, and that was kind of concerning to everybody. The yield potential is certainly better than last year, and that kind of showed in our both the government and our analysis. I think the stands are better, but it was getting dry, and there was a little, you know, negativity. If there was negativity, it was probably because of the dryness. The wheat in a lot of areas was starting to curl up the leaves and show that that drought stress kind of look. But you know, nothing that a good inch of rain wouldn't fix.
Was there one part of the state in particular that looked better than the rest, in your opinion?
Yeah, the South Central, the South Central and Southwest and West Central, you know, I think they caught like a 3 or 3.5 inch rain here. It's been a month ago now, but it absolutely saved them, and the wheat kind of responded. So all of that northern Oklahoma, you know, out into the Panhandle, up into Kansas, and then back across into towards Wichita. That's better than normal. That wheat looks exceptional. What didn't look exceptional to us was the North Central and Northwest, which would normally be really big, high-yield wheat areas, and they looked dry. And so there was a lot of concern that those areas were probably, you know, average, and these other areas were well above average.
And that would seem to fit with some of that theme. I know you get up into northern Kansas and into Nebraska. Things have been really, really dry here as of late.
My route was through Nebraska. And first of all, it's hard to find wheat fields this year. They were so dry in the fall even that I talked to one farmer and he said, we just didn't plant. He said let's just get into the winter and hope for something better in the spring. So there's a lot of unplanted wheat fields in Nebraska, and the ones that were planted are subpar for sure.
Well, one would have to think, to your point earlier, with some of that dryness out there and more and still some decent looking fields, it's going to be a matter of what the next couple of months holds for Mother Nature, I would say.
Yeah, probably a month is all of time that they have. And that, you know, if you're familiar with Kansas, that's pretty normal for us. we need the rain. We need the rain most of the time. And if we don't get it, we have low yields. If we do get it, we have a big crop. And that's kind of where they are this year. I didn't see over the weekend what rain fell in Kansas, but I think some did, and that'll perk people up a lot too.
Well, Dave, we always appreciate you and your team's efforts and taking folks on this tour, which I understand this time around there was a lot of first-time participants as well.
Oh, which is pretty normal for us. I think probably we have 66 people actually going and scouting fields every day. And I'll bet you 40 of them had never been in a wheat field before. And I've probably even told you this story. The days of ag jobs being filled by ag kids is gone. I mean, there are too many good ag jobs, and they're going to be filled by city kids. And these guys are on these tours are all smart. They're college educated. They're ready to go. They just didn't grow up on a farm. And so this is a way to train them up like we have to do nowadays.
That's a great point. It's a great point. Well, and Dave, I know here in just a matter of a couple of months as well, I know we're working on getting that spring wheat crop in the ground right now. We're, I think, about 84% done as of Monday's estimates from USDA. And you guys will be geared up for that spring wheat tour here in just a matter of weeks.
Yeah. And I think it's July 22nd. I think we're out in the fields up there. We'll have a similar size crowd and a similar group of people, about 20 people that have done it and can lead a car. And then the rest of them, whether that's 40 or 50 people, will be brand new. And again, North Dakota is a beautiful place to visit. And what I like about that tour is, you know, they probably grow 30 commercial crops in North Dakota. So it's real fun to see canola and flax and sunflowers and sugar beets and all these crops that you just don't see in Kansas. So it's kind of a different looking tour, but we'll try to do a good job.
Well, we'll look forward to catching up with you when that tour wraps up here as well. With that, Dave Green with the Wheat Quality Council, appreciate you being with us here today on AOA. Dave, we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Jesse.
Dave Green with us from the Wheat Quality Council. Sound like a pretty good tour last week in Kansas, albeit some issues with dryness and wheat streak. That's going to do it for today's AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Premium diesel, the right choice for your operation year-round. Learn more at Cenex.com. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk with Caleb Ragland from the American Soybean Association and Brian Jennings from the American Coalition for Ethanol. Have a great rest of your day. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
You know a thing or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a...
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small, loud or quiet, find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples prints it all.
Oh, you bet. Posters, banners.
Can you print it all for Father's Day?
Oh, of course. Photo gifts like canvas prints, photo puzzles.
Can you print it all for graduation?
Sure can. Custom cards and invites.
Can you print a huge banner with the grad's picture?
Oh, definitely.
Even an embarrassing baby picture?
Oh, those are the best kind.
I know, right?
Print it all for dads and grads at Staples. And right now, get 40% off custom cards, invites, and photo gifts. N75 exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details.
Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM, translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A new ground-based and space-based missile defense system in the U.S. is one step closer to reality. President Trump at the White House announcing the initial plans for the